This is Mike Malevsky, and I'm here with Paul Morley. We're talking a little bit about the latest stage of development of a school that he's been proposing, Arcos, he and others. And I'm going to, first of all, welcome Paul. Welcome.
Thank you.
And now say, recently I was in attendance, you were there, others were there, for a school board meeting at which I watched the board pretty much, not in public session, look at the question of an appeal from the, as I understand it, rejection of the proposal for a charter school that you and others had presented.
Correct.
The reason given by the school board president was that they were going to go into executive session at the end of that meeting and consult with their attorney, because once it became an appeal, the issue transformed into more of a legal issue than a question of whether the school board found your proposal adequate.
Yes, but I think the crux of the problem is we don't know what goes on in an executive session. That's the nature of executive session. So there's a lot of speculation and conjecture, and I'm not going to get into that, but I can just say on December 3rd, the board, the district board, voted 4-3 against the charter proposal. We anticipated some resistance, but I think many people were surprised at that vote. And then when each member gave their reasons, it was stated by a couple of them, at least two, that an apparent lack of input from parents and students contributed to their decision. So we did subsequently get indication that had there been more support, that would have made the difference. So we embarked on the process of appealing to the state, which was, it's a new process, new to the district, new to the commissioner, and submitted documents from the district. The commissioner then had three choices to deny the appeal, to refer it to the state board for appeal, or to remand it back to the local board, which was the preferable option from many standpoints, not the least of which was we wanted to work with our board and work with our district. That would be preferable. So the commissioner sent a letter to the board directing them that in his estimation, the reasons that they'd given for denying the application did not fall within rule or law. And he directed the board very respectfully. He was very diplomatic and skillful to either reconsider their reasons, to revisit their reasons for rejecting it, or to actually reconsider the whole denial and possibly even pass it. We thought we had a good shot at that. And since many board members had, or two members, at least two members had said, we'd like to hear from more parents if we're going to consider something like this, we got a lot more people to do that formally. So they contacted board members, and they wrote letters, and they showed up at the meeting. We had over 60 people, I would say. You were there. Does that seem reasonable?
And once again, just to revisit the process, for those listeners who might not be familiar with it, given that it was not an agenda item, people were not speaking in a with a public hearing specific to that issue, but there are two opportunities on the board's agenda to speak to any issue, and it was during both of those times, both early on and at the end of the meeting, that I saw and heard people stand up and support the proposal that you had made. The school board throughout the meeting, with the exception of the reference to the fact that it would be taken up in executive session, did not in any way debate or consider this issue and everything that was done was subsequently contained within the executive session. Most people leave, and although executive sessions potentially can result in action being taken when so stated to come out of the executive session, reconstitute the meeting, and reveal a decision, make a decision, and maybe even have a vote. Last night that apparently did not happen, and so you were made aware of what was happening in what way?
I received a phone call from the Assistant Superintendent, Gene Stone, who informed me that the board was not going to reconsider their decision, that they were going to send a statement to the commissioner that presumably restates their reasons. And from their standpoint, maybe from a legal standpoint, since it was an executive session and they got counsel, legal counsel, maybe they rephrased things, we don't know. But, you know, from all appearances, a decision was made, an important decision was made without public oversight, and seems objectionable.
What now for you? You nicely laid out three options that the commissioner had initially. Once there's a return from the school board in this fashion, as we're presuming it will be, what does the commissioner get to do after that?
From what I understand from our assistant superintendent, we'll be informed by the commissioner what steps are next.
Okay.
Presumably, he can make a decision or he can refer us to the state board, and I'm not sure how that will go.
So we're taking one off the table, or since it's been done, presumably then it's either to deny or move it to the school board.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's pretty clear. Now, I know one of the other options, actually, was in place of an appeal of this present proposal was to come back again at a later time, presumably next year, some other thing. That was my sense. I clarify that. The school board, when they denied the application initially here, was there an indication that you could come back a subsequent time with another proposal?
It's not unusual for a charter document to develop over more than 1 year, but by law they have to be, the application has to be for the subsequent school year, so it has to be within that 1 year time frame. So it's a lot to do in 1 year.
Right.
One thing that was interesting, though, is our assistant superintendent shared that the board was basing this decision, at least partly, and we don't know because we're not privy to the information. I can only go by what he said. They're basing part of their decision on a lack of confidence in us being able to get the school together in time for school year. But, you know, in fact, this kind of time frame is normal for a charter school. It is always a mad dash to the finish line. And, yes, it would be a huge challenge to do it, but we rise to great challenges and we do great things under pressure. And we have acted in a timely manner in every step of this process. The commissioners acted in a timely manner, and we will continue to lobby for approval of our charter.
Okay. So right now it seems that you are in a waiting mode to hear from the commissioner. Any sense of how long that would be?
I have no indication other than we are in contact with Juno.
Okay.
And I expect direct communication with the commissioner in the next couple days.
Okay.
And meanwhile, we look forward. We've established contacts with UAF's experiment farm and National Outdoor Leadership School, who are, you know, tentatively offering facilities So, you know, if and when we can get this charter approved, we may be able to at least temporarily locate on the experiment farm. They have lab space, they have equipment, classrooms, they have 1,000 acres, greenhouses, which would be all perfect for the model of our school, which has got a strong northern food production and boreal ecology component.
So at the present time, and maybe you could clarify, as you've been looking at this for a long time, in the state of Alaska, charter schools are approved by local entities. Is there another option?
The appeal process could result in the state board superseding the action of the local board.
That leads to the question then, does the state board, what happens to the relationship between the superseded board on a local
yes.
level and the charter school?
It's all new territory, and no definitive answer at this
okay.
point.
Well,
it's very interesting.
Well, you're obviously not only suggesting you're on the cutting edge with a plan for a school that's different as a
yes.
charter school, but also dealing with a process change
yeah.
that's kind
Absolutely.
Of interesting out there.
Okay. Yeah, I know the state is in a constant state of, okay, what do we do now? This is what's in place, but how do we do it? And I think to a certain extent, the district is doing that as well as we are.
Okay. Mike Malefsky here for Radio Free Palmer with Paul Morley. And Paul, do you want to sum up any last comments before we finish?
Well, I'm disappointed, of course, that we couldn't work with the local board, but it's very clear that we have to move on. We're trying to do what's best for kids, and that takes precedence. We know our vision is strong. The people that spoke, including some students at the board meeting last night, were very eloquent. They covered a wide range of benefits to the community. They brought up our mentorship program and our various strands, our place-based education structure, our creative school year structure. We had one young lady in middle school who's been homeschooled her entire life say to the board, "This is the first school I've ever wanted to attend." And it was very, very moving. We had other students say, "You know, I really want to go to the school next year. I want this kind of opportunity." So we're going to work hard and hope for the best.
All right. Thank you, Paul Morley.
Thank you.